flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm going to give y'all a nugget that most people don't know about me unless you're really close to me. So when I was in junior college, right, I kind of started my own transfer portal as a player. So I left Foothill. You know, I was at Foothill Junior College in San Jose, and then I went over to De Anza Junior College in San Jose, right? And so when I went to De Anza, our roster wasn't really good, and our coach left before the season started. He left, like, the end of the spring, and we had no coach throughout the summer. So what I did was I looked at all the rosters, and I watched the film of all the teams in the local area in driving distance, and I would see the players that were pretty decent, but they were, like, twos at their school. You know, they were twos or threes, or, you know, they might have been a starter but didn't get enough – you know, get enough shine or burn. And so I asked them to come play at De Anza. And I recruited them guys to come play at De Anza. And that's when I was a player. And then when I got into, you know, high school coaching, when you're a high school coach, you're always recruiting. You're recruiting the kids in the hallway. You're recruiting the kids at the middle schools. You know, you recruit every day. You know, you got to build a program. You know, like, I took over two high school programs that were the last ranked team. So it was like you had to recruit everybody. I was recruiting all the other sports rosters. I was recruiting anybody in the town or community or town over that could play. I was trying to get them to play. So for me, that's fun. I mean, team building and you know, trying to develop a team. Like, a lot of coaches are stressed out by that. And that's why we're eating them up in the portal, you know, because I'm not stressed out by that. I think that's what sports is about. If you play well, you want to thrive, and you want to climb. If you're not playing well, you want to get somewhere where you can play well. You know, so that's all we're trying to do every day, is just get players that are bought in, sold out, and inspired to what we're doing here at Sacramento State, and we'll continue to do that.
Them high school football coaches, man, they always going after the basketball players. Man, I was coaching the basketball players. I'm not going to be there, Coach KC. I got 7-on-7s this week. I said, wait, I thought football season was over. Yeah, Coach told me to come through. Oh, man, they got another one, man.
No doubt. Always. Got to.
The go-go offense. I mean, it's feels like, you know, maybe I'm just in it because I'm reading a lot of it, but it's taking college football by storm, what you're able to do at UNLV. Just the name of it. I heard the story about how you got it when you're out in Howard and, you know, the whole DC go-go movement or whatever. Really, really cool. What can we expect to see from the go-go offense? Is it run heavy? Is it, you know, are we airing it out? Or, you know, is it obviously a mixture of both?
Yeah, it'll be a little bit of both. And it's always adapted to each team that we go to, right? So if you look at our offense over time, I mean, every year, some years it's really run heavy, some years it's really throw heavy, some years it's really balanced. Whatever the players can do best, we just really are going to put them in the best position to make plays. We have a system, but it's always adaptable to our players, right? So, you know, who we have and what we can utilize from what the players that we currently have on our roster, what our quarterback can do, what our running backs can do, what our O-line can handle as far as protections and run game stuff, we'll adapt it to that. But, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, just watching the guys run this morning at 6 a.m. and just seeing the different pieces that we have and, you know, what we can do and create new stuff and use old stuff that we haven't used in a while. It's a really exciting time from that standpoint of just, you know, being creative again. And, you know, anytime you go to a new program, you're reteaching and, you know, it's all new learning. So it's going to be a fun experience, but it's going to be exciting. It's going to be high flying. It's going to be a lot of physical. If you like that, you know, ooh and all type of football, that's what we'll bring to the table.
Coach, you from Pennsylvania?
Pittsburgh,
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Haven't seen you yet without the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
What's on the iPad? What's on the playlist that you listen to?
So I got about 10,000 songs because I didn't live everywhere. You know, I say thank God for the ball to save my life. Football has taken me everywhere. I never thought I'd leave Pittsburgh, and I've lived in Hawaii, Arizona, Texas, Oklahoma. You know, so I got a little bit of everything. You know, I always say it's not about where you're from, it's about where you're at. I got a little bit of Bay music. You know, I got a little Mozzie. I got a little country, you know, whatever you need, classical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a little bit of everything, jazz, blues. Yeah. Okay. You know, I like good music. I like what sounds good. I like what makes me move a little bit. And I, as soon as I hear something that I like, I just put it on the list. I add it to the list. But
what's the last thing you listened to?
Oh, man. Oh, I listen to Ain't No Such Things as Halfway Crooks.
Okay.
Joke ones this morning. That
yeah,
was
my favorite. Had to start the day.
Yeah.
You had to start the day, yeah. Little Queensbridge, yeah. Man. Shout out Mob D. You know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I saw you mentioned Mozzie. I saw you guys got a pretty good relationship, man. He shouted you out when you got hired out here, man. How did that relationship even come about?
You know, one of my young guys, you know, one of the young, you know, hungry recruiters. I got a lot of young, hungry guys on the staff. He was somewhere with Mozzie, and Mozzie was happy just to see one of us, you know, get an opportunity. And so he shouted us out, and that's big time. And I need to get that guy on the sideline, you know, and really rep for Sacramento. You know what I mean? I need to get him in there.
Coach.
Via Zoom, maybe. Coach. Get him on the scoreboard.
If you get these streets to get Mozzie back here, boy, you'd be the biggest legend this city has ever seen. You'd be the biggest legend the streets have ever seen. You pull that off, Coach.
We include everybody. Everybody, it's a safe space.
That's
you're
right.
Loved,
there we
you're
go.
Safe. You matter at the football program.
We ain't doing nothing.
Straight up.
Ain't doing nothing but playing football out there.
Hey, Coach, we was just talking, man. We're going to be at Sac State Tough. We're going to be out at the field pretty heavy this year, man. Yeah, we're excited for you.
Yeah, pull up. We need y'all. We need the whole city, everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to get that field pass, Coach. And, you know, if it's like
stop begging Coach for a field pass.
If it's fourth and seven, Coach, just look my way. I'll be like, hey, or, yeah, go ahead and go. You know what I'm saying?
That's what he's going to do. The hottest coach in the game. The hottest coach in the game going to look to you for advice.
Coach, not this one, bro. Not this one.
Hey, Mark, get this idiot off my sideline.
We gonna keep KC in the box till after the game. He comes back.
There you go. There you go.
Pre-game and after the game.
There you go.
I need it for the gram, man. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I need it for the gram. You know what
that's
it is.
That's it. Hey, Coach, we're thrilled that you're here, man. Look forward to a fun season together. We're always here if you need anything, man. But get back out there, man. Get these recruits back in the house, man. We'll see you soon.
No doubt. Thank you. Stingers
yes, sir.
Up.
Yes, sir. Stingers
all
up. Go Sacramento. Let's go,
all
boy.
The way up. Yes, sir. That's our man, Coach Brendan Marion right there. Good stuff, man. He probably pulling his hair out, carving out 15 minutes for us.
He's like, bro, I could have been down I-80 by now. What are we doing?
He's probably like, there's one recruit I lost right there. There's two talking to these two. I got this idiot over here talking about he going to call plays.
Not fourth and eight. Not fourth and eight, man. What he's doing in recruiting is crazy.
Absolutely.
It is crazy. I follow college football closely, the FCS. Like I said, I saw the other day the 2026 commits. They're top, I think it was 44 in the country ahead of numerous FBS schools. It's crazy what my man's doing with the recruiting, man. He's killing.
Hey, shout out to President Wood, Dr. Wood, and our man Mark Orr. Man, what an amazing job that they've done over here over the last handful of years with that program. What they're doing with bowl programs and everything that they're attempting to take Sac State to. You talk about runners, man. All of those guys are runners. Mm-hmm. That's what Coach was talking about right there, them go-go's.
Yeah.
I think there's something pretty dope to work with a guy like Dr. Wood, who epitomized, look, this is our vision for this university. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to wonder what it is, because the second you get around me, you're going to see me execute it.
Mm.
And Dr. Wood is the ultimate lead by example guy.
Yeah.
Now, he won't come on this show, but when it comes to, there's a reason we can't get him on this show. He is out there literally building stadiums, getting buildings remodeled, mm-hmm. Getting coaches like Coach Marion in here, and he's doing great things both for Sac State, the business of Sac State, the students of Sac State, mm-hmm. In the city of Sacramento as well.
100%, man, and I love President Luke Wood's message when he's just like, hey, somebody was asking him last night when I talked about him saying it's FBS or bust. He's like, that's what this student body deserves. That's what this university deserves, for us to strive to be at the highest level. Are they going to make it? I don't know. I believe them. I believe they definitely going to get FBS. Where they get there in FBS, I don't know. But I think they're going to make it. But just the whole mentality of, we're not settling for second best. We're not settling for mid-tier. Mm-hmm. We're going to shoot for the stars. Wherever we end up is where we end up. But we're going to shoot for the stars. What we're trying to do, they had the renderings for the basketball gym at the Well, and mm-hmm. you know a lot of people like myself, I was excited about it. A lot of people were excited about it. A lot of people were like, oh, it looks like a high school gym. He came in there, he said, hey man, this is temporary. This is just what we're doing for right now, because we have to get out of the nest. We got bigger and better plans than even this. This ain't the finished product. And I just love the energy he's putting in there. I think Sacramento, with a university and the athletics in the university, is an untapped market here in California on the West Coast. And if you can get this thing going, you know, at the FBS level and everything, and get us there, I think it's going to be a gem on the West Coast when you talk about colleges and support and all this other stuff. I think it could really take off, because we always talk about, we love our sports, and this will be it. This will be a professional team to us. You know, this would be damn near like going to the NFL if we could get FBS and play that Division I football on a weekly basis. And you already know how we support professional teams out here. That's how we would look at Sac State.
I know our man Silva is getting his jokes off, but we're going to get cowboy hats for the game.
I'll wear for sure. I'll be out there like Bruce Brown.
But yeah, but the thing is, I don't think them cowboy hats is.
No, they're not cheap.
Yeah.
No, they're not cheap. You got to get a good one, though. I mean, hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I do it. I ain't scared.
Hell yeah. That's a good call. I'm going to start looking
cover up
for
my big
today.
Ass head. I know I got a big ass. I cover it up. It's fine.
I'm telling you. You gonna
do we got to like steam it too. Don't you got to like steam it so you can like.
I don't know.
We'll ask Coach how you do it.
But I'm going to have the whole thing going. I'm going to have the tight Levi's with the button up.
No, no one said that.
I'm going Bruce Brown. Know. That's a good look, bro. That's a good look. Look at Bruce Brown again. He looked.
You're
going to
go. Okay. So that's on wax.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like Bruce Brown, I seen him with the denim on denim.
No, I remember.
I'll wear it.
No, I remember
absolutely.
The game.
On the field.
I feel like you're taking it a smidge bit too far, but go ahead.
On the field, man.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Right there.
Stop trying. Will you stop begging the people who joined this show?
They need me on
stuff?
That field.
They don't. I don't think they do.
They need me there, bro. I'm telling you.
Exactly for what?
Vibes. That's vibes.
That's fine. That's fine. What store are we walking into to get cowboy hats?
They might have some at the, I mean, I know it's the Boot Barn, but they shouldn't, they might have some hats there too.
Okay.
Boot Barn right up there at Delta Shores. That's where I get some boots too. I actually got some boots for Christmas. They're not like cowboy boots, but they're kind of like the Chelsea boots, but they got a little heel to them, Just waiting for the right time to crack them out.
Spectre notes, we just walk around with JBL's music playing.
Oh, snap.
That's a good call right there.
JBL's old Texas.
Our man KBO says Folsom has a Western wear store. Okay. Oh, go out to Folsom. Get
Western
some.
Wear.
We don't need to do all that. But I am down to rock a cowboy
right
hat
now,
in solidarity with our brother.
Yeah, I'm rocking the hat for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah,
start
Western
Googling
Well, like I said,
then.
Boot Barn. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Boot Barn.
All right. This is a great conversation, yeah, man. Check. Make sure you're following Coach in Sac State.
The one killer is, I mean, I think I'm aware of that, like maybe in the October games, because them September games going to be hot.
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing I remember.
Yeah.
Got out there like the first home game. It was like 97.
Well, I wore that fedora to Sky River that one day, and I was like you yesterday where we thought you might die. I felt like you. I had sweat pouring down the side of my face. Man, you can't wear hats under them in the heat. That's terrible.
It's too hot. It's too hot. Oh, this is a good one. KC, Michael Irvin of Sac State. You see Mike on the sidelines?
Well, of Miami? Michael. Oh, we don't need that. We don't need KC being the Michael Irvin of anything.
Did you see Mike Irvin at the when Miami was at Cal? Oh, that was a classic. I bet you if you just put it into Twitter, the videos will come up.
Oh, I'm sure. I did.
Mike was on all fours.
Oh, yeah. Remember that one. Yeah. You can't do that, Mike. Ah, there it is. Yep. So you going to do that, huh? You going to do that?
I don't know if I'm going Michael Irvin.
You're going to get on all fours at Sac State in a cowboy hat and some tight denim jeans.
I don't know if I'm going Michael Irvin, man. I don't know if I'm doing that. Shout out to the playmaker.
It's a wild look right there from Michael Irvin. Irvin was tripping.
But I'm going to be there in the end zone when they score. I'm going to dap him up.
All right.
Let's go, boy. I'm going to get in on the celebration.
I'm sure they're going to be more motivated.
Get in on the celebration. Okay. Do the little jump chest bump. Who's that guy on the sideline?
Have you thrown out. Kenny Caraway got thrown out of another sporting event.
I'm going to be walking out like Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cowboy hat and denim just getting thrown out of the stadium. Goodness
gracious.
Yeah,
no, it's going to be dope, man. It's going to be really
dope
out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait,
man. I think them boys going to contend right away for a FCS championship.
I want to believe that. Then I remember some of them recruiting classes Coach Patrick had, and there's just a learning curve, everybody playing together. You know, maybe basketball is a little bit different than football because you're operating on two different sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, though, but this is a hell of a class that's put together.
Coach Patrick was doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing his thing. That's my boy. Shout out LSU.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be like if Coach Patrick was getting some guys from Duke to come here.
Mm.
That's what this guy – I got the Alabama five-star recruit.
Mm-hmm.
Got the leading rusher at Pitt to come out here to Sac State. Guys from UNLV, like, he getting these dudes. Oh, come on, man. Kyle talking about Kenny, Big Dom Caraway.
All right,
come
man.
On, man.
All right, man.
I'm going to be in the camera during Coach's halftime interview.
We'll come
Big
back.
Dom.
Yeah, we'll come back. Kyle Madsen, I think, joins us next on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sac Hoop updates on ESPN 1320 are brought to you by Capital Casino, Sacramento's number one poker room, featuring breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the Capital Cafe and Restaurant. This is D-Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
I already know what kind of hat Kenny gonna get. I just found it.
What's it looking like?
I remember Pharrell wearing one.
The Mountie hat?
$1,360.
You talking about the Mountie hat?
It's a lasso hat. No, it's not as wide. The Mountie hat is like the stiff brim that goes. It's not that.
I don't like that.
I'll try to turn my. It's that right there.
I That's a good look.
No, it's a great look. Can you get me one too?
Well, no, that's your store. What you talking about? What you talking about? That's your store.
It's called a lasso hat.
Oh, yeah, that's
like
right.
I have the same bag you do. The same exact brand.
I mean, but it's different.
It's
There's
a different
levels.
Pattern. That's There's all levels. It is. It's a different pattern.
Levels. You got multiple too, bro. Come on, stop playing.
Kyle Madsen said to join us here probably soon. Not sure, to be honest, but I think he will. And I'm sure he'll have quite a bit to talk about as pertains to the Kings and for football this week.
Yeah, it's a little side programming note. Mm-hmm. Our guy Swoosh, he says, "Hey, yo, Kenny, I just found out the dude who plays Kanan is a fire drummer. Did you see the announcement?"
I did not.
Raising Kanan back March 7th. Lego!
March, okay. Okay.
Lego, okay. We back.
Okay, I'm with it.
Yeah, man.
Let's rock. I'm with it. I'll take it.
That's gonna be tough going week to week, because like right now, obviously I'm watching Snowfall, and I'm binge watching it, so mm-hmm. to speak. So I could knock out four episodes in a row. Now getting back into
waiting
the rhythm
week to
of
week
the shows,
for yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Man,
that's tough,
crazy.
And you never know with these 50 Cent series because they'll just end. You just find out. Oh yeah, no, this is the last episode. Yeah, of the season. No, ever. This is the last episode ever. The show is never coming back.
50, what was the name of his network he got on Roku? It's like 50 Force, 50 Impact Network, where he just, these shows and some of the other stuff.
Why didn't he just call it the Power Universe?
Because I think they show more than just Power on his channel.
Yeah, but I think everybody would have known what it was.
True.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a marketing genius. He is. All right. Well, we'll just sit here quietly until no. Kyle Madsen comes to join us. Eddie Gonzalez is going to join us, by the way, in about an hour from now. James Hamm at the top of the hour.
We were here in the Time 102.5 studios when the All-Star starters were announced last night.
Yeah.
And the more I think about it and see the starters and see how this
–
I don't know if the Kings will ever like really get All-Stars like that.
Yeah,
If Sabonis is like borderline and afterthoughts, like
Charles Barkley was the only guy who mentioned him, right?
That's crazy.
Like no one else mentioned Domantas Sabonis as an All-Star on that panel, except for Charles Barkley. We saw two references to Norman Powell. With all due respect, like Norman
who's,
Powell,
who's having a really good season?
Yeah.
She's having a really, really good season, but
and so is Sengun.
Yeah.
But what barometer are either of them better than Domantas Sabonis? Because that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is who's better than Domantas Sabonis? And right now the answer is neither one of those guys.
Mm. Norman Powell is getting mentioned because he's averaging 23.7 points a night, which is 5 points higher than his career high. And he's doing it at age 31. So it's the anomaly of it. I think that everybody's like, wow, Norman Powell, what a year. Like, yeah, it's a really good year. He's not better than Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alperen Sengun, because he's on the Houston Rockets, who are the number two seed.
Sure. 21-14-6.
Like, these numbers are cute. I don't mean to say it like that. Yeah,
no, don't shoot the messenger. I'm trying to.
No,
I'm
no
trying
I, know,
to,
I know you know.
I'm trying to yeah, get to talking. Why. I'm trying to get to how they get here. And I think that's probably why. But it's 21-14-6. Come on, man. It also doesn't help. Here's the thing that doesn't help Sabonis. He's in the West with Jokic, where Domas went nuts last night. Was it 23-19-8?
Mm-hmm.
23-19?
Completely inconsequential.
It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because 35-22-17 is on the other side.
Crazy.
And I know it's 23-19-8. Any other NBA player does that, and it's like, oh my God, did you see what he did?
Sengun did that.
Sengun did that. If Karl Anthony Towns did that and the Knicks win, it would lead SportsCenter.
That's facts.
But not
it
only
has led SportsCenter.
Great point. But like, A, we've gotten used to it with Domas. It's fallen into that like, yeah, that's just kind of what he does. And B, he did it in a loss against a guy who is the only player in the league who, one of two players in the league who does that night in and night out better than Domas does. Giannis is the other one. But when it's Giannis and Jokic and then you're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Don't give
man.
Me Alperen Şengün, though, man. Get out of here. Nah, and I like
really,
Şengün a lot.
I really think he's going to make it.
I like Şengün. I like him.
They're going to use the. They're going to say exactly what Kyle just said. It's the two seed.
And the thing that I just, I don't know. We pick and choose when it really matters. But I mean, it's like Şengün. Jalen Green sitting there averaging 21, 22 points a night. And they be looking at him. They talking about him like he a bad player.
Can we also keep this a buck with what the NBA All-Star Game is at this point? It's a popularity contest. It's for fans. Everybody wants to see points and something crazy. Jalen Green, in that respect, is way more of an all-star than Alperen Şengün is. I don't need to watch Alperen Şengün throw nice passes out of the low post.
You're right. You're right in what it is, but this is the coach's moment to get on their high horse and talk about what basketball should be. It's why Jaren Jackson made the all-star team. What was it, last year or the year? It was last year. Or was it the year before?
2 years ago.
Jaren Jackson made the all-star team 2 years ago instead of De'Aaron Fox. It was like...
He plays defense and blocks
what?
Shots.
What?
And nobody likes to get on their high horse more than coaches.
Yeah, 100%. And you saw it when Mike Brown got fired.
Yeah.
Greg Popovich will tell you everything that's wrong. I hope Greg Popovich is doing well. He'll tell you everything that's wrong with this country, how much he hates Donald Trump, and he's destroying society. But Antonio Harvey asked him if he votes for DeMontis. I'm not going to tell you that. That's like asking me who I voted for.
It's like the David
well, no, Pop, bit. We don't have to ask you who you voted for. We know. We know exactly who you voted for. You don't want to tell us you didn't vote for DeMontis Sabonis because you don't have a good reason as to why you didn't vote for DeMontis Sabonis to be an all-star.
Here's the other thing. We think about this a lot because it's our job, right? We put a lot of thought into this. People in the chatty house who love the Kings and love basketball and love the NBA put a ton of thought into this because that's what they do. It is not a coach's job to think about who an all-star is. And I would guess some percentage of coaches, some meaningful percentage of coaches is like, hey, equipment guy, here you go.
Yeah.
An equipment guy's going to go without looking. All right, well, Luka's an all-star.
Yep.
Anthony Davis, an all-star. Yeah. And they're just going to write down names, and then they'll go look. They'll sort by points per game, or they'll look at the standings and go, okay, well, that guy. And I think that's kind of what it comes down to. I don't think it's as meaningful as...
Greg Popovich wouldn't answer Antonio's question because he didn't know.
That's I literally
he didn't
think,
make the pick,
and he didn't want to say. I don't know. I don't know. Go ask Ted.
Go ask the guy folding the towels. He's the one who did it.
They
hey, don't do that because Antonio Harvey would.
Tony's
scared.
Yeah, where is he?
I remember when, and obviously this isn't the best source, but I think he speaks for a lot of them when the whole Mike Brown thing went down. Obviously, George Karl had to chime in. Because he had a lot to say, a lot to tweet. And then he was like, I actually think coaches are underpaid for what they have to put up with. I'm like, all right, man.
What they have
like,
to put
shut
up with.
Up, man. Like, seriously, like we joke about, like, coaching does matter or whatever. But
it does.
Come on, man. Making $30 million to basically... Like no, I don't want to disrespect nobody or diminish. Mm-hmm. But Mike Malone, you're almost Mike Malone that can make $30 million because you have a Jokic. Like if Mike Malone was coaching the Wizards, they wouldn't be any good, and it wouldn't be his fault.
Sure.
It doesn't mean he's a bad coach. It's a talent driven sport. Sports are talent driven. You know what I mean? Like if you got the best players, you're good. So. To sit up here and be like, oh, for what they got to put up with, like, all right, man. Like, if you're lucky enough to get some of these great players, then that's why you're getting the money, not because you got to put up with a bunch of stuff.
Saying all this in Sacramento where Doug Christie's 10-3 after taking over a 13-19 team is kind of crazy.
Well, I understand what you're saying and agree with it to a certain extent, but then there's also Kenny Atkinson.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Like, how much did Cleveland change roster-wise from last year to this year?
Not a lot, but they're already good.
No, they were good. Yeah, they're great now. You didn't think they were title contenders last year.
No.
You said they were title contenders this year.
Yeah. Like and he
deserves credit for that, no?
He absolutely deserves credit for that. But my whole point is there has to be talent. Like he ain't going to Washington and doing this. Like you're almost 100% dependent on the people that you have.
I think you and George Karl are kind of saying the same thing. Because I think head NBA head coaches.
I need you to let that, let that sink
in. You want
to
fight?
Yeah. Let that sink in, pal. Yeah.
No, here's a. I think you and George Karl, like how you and Malik Monk are the same guy. You and George Karl, same guy. I think NBA coaches are probably actually like properly paid for what I think. What George Karl is saying is these guys, all the blame is going to go on the coach. He's going to get all of the, anything goes wrong. Look at the Golden State Warriors. Anything that goes wrong, go look at any Warriors fan timeline.
Jim Park. It's a good
go
one.
Go look at Jim Park. Yep. Fire Steve Kerr.
Yep.
Guy Santos should have played four more minutes. Fire Steve Kerr. Mm-hmm. They go beat the brakes off the Bulls, and it's like, Steph, what a goat. Wow, Quentin Post, rookie of the year. Like it's and so I think what George Karl is saying is a little bit in the vein of what you're saying is like, coaches have to deal with all of the bad stuff and get very little of the credit. And for that, they deserve more or whatever. I think it's less about financials and more about, like, there's very rarely, is it like, yeah, hey, great job, coach. Coach is kicking ass over there. It's always the coach is doing a bad job or the players are doing a good job.
Do you guys think, once again, I don't want to be disrespectful, but the 2016 Warriors.
You're about to
be disrespectful. How many coaches could coach them to that level?
I was trying to be slick. You're a projector, and I think.
Okay, that's what. Right.
Yeah,
no, that's
so
what
I was just saying. I wasn't sure if it was
It's in front of my face on the camera.
No, I was just telling you.
I was too close to.
Yeah, that's what.
Okay,
it was.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Because you got a big voice.
Yeah.
Kenny's got a little voice, so I gotta. You know,
sure.
I was trying to be slick, and it did not work. So I.
No,
failed.
You did the right thing. I did not. I did not interpret your. There were two messages.
Yeah, for sure.
So my dumb ass went. Because my mic is always in front of the camera.
Yes, right.
I went, oh, that's the problem again. Let me put it over here and then do this.
Yeah.
So, no, that's on me.
But the 2016-2017 Warriors, like how many coaches could have coached them to an NBA Finals appearance?
Oh.
I think we're talking like three dozen.
No.
No?
I think managing talent is a little bit harder than we give it credit for.
Yeah,
it is. But
I think that's where Steve Kerr, being a guy who was like an NBA champion, played with Michael Jordan, like that's
he was probably the perfect guy.
That's what allows you to go to Andre Iguodala and go, "Hey, you're coming off the bench now."
To your
and
point,
it's be good for the team.
I think maybe to your point, there's probably a couple.
Yeah,
are there three dozen? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But there's more than one.
I mean, the one obvious. Case
I think
study.
I think the biggest
Luke Walton went crazy with that team.
Yeah, I think the bigger question. You might be right. By the time they got going, we literally saw a game against Phoenix where they coached themselves.
And then KD comes.
Right. So
and it's
I think
like, all right.
I think the bigger question is how many coaches could have come in after Mark Jackson and taken them from maybe a second round exit to 67 win title contenders. Mm-hmm. That's the question, I think.
Two things. Luke Walton didn't have to coach a series. That team didn't win a championship.
No, but they didn't win
a championship.
I said NBA Finals appearance.
Okay.
Because I took the two teams. I took the team that lost in the finals, and then they added Kevin Durant and won a championship. Like, can you? And I'm not even going to say win a championship with Kevin Durant. How many coaches can get to the finals with that team?
By that point, I think it was such a machine that. I don't know if it's three dozen, but it's probably a lot of coaches. But on the other hand, I don't think three dozen coaches could have stepped in the 2014-15 season and been like, yep, this is a 67-win title team. I think Steve Kerr coached his ass off that year.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I don't know why Kenny hates coaches or what they did to him. But I hope all of the players that Kenny coaches now get radio shows and go, oh, my coaches suck. Like, they weren't good for anything. Like, I didn't even need him. I was just out there hooping.
Well,
Kenny's just kicking Steve Kerr's ass today. He's going to cook Steve Kerr in one-on-one.
Yeah, people
and Steve Kerr's a bad coach.
People sounded crazy. It was like, Steve Kerr would give Kenny 70 points. Are you crazy? The man's 60 years old.
Yeah,
Can he still make a shot? I'm not disputing that.
When was this?
Today. Well, I was saying that NBA, because the discussion was like, pro athletes are so much better at their respective sport than the normal person that it's like incomprehensible.
Yeah.
They just make it look easy, right? And so I was saying, you go watch an ex-NBA player play pickup, and it could be Henry Turner was the name that I first came up in my head, but I was like, nobody knows. Steve Kerr could go out to the 24-hour fitness right now and just get buckets.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 60 years old with back problems.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny was like, I would give Steve Kerr 50.
Yes.
Sir.
Are you crazy? First of all, I played against NBA players, so I know what time it is. I'm not disrespecting them. Ain't no 60-year-old Steve Kerr going to go to work on me. Steve Kerr was 30, yeah, he might go to work. I'm not disputing that. Don't disrespect me. 60-year-old Steve Kerr.
30-year-old Steve Kerr was winning titles.
Crazy.
With the Spurs.
Okay.
Are you 40?
So what's the argument what's the argument you take it to Steve Kerr, Paul? What's the argument?
Now you would beat Steve Kerr.
No, because you said Steve Kerr, I think.
I threw Steve Kerr out there because he's an old NBA player.
Steve Kerr, I would give him buckets today.
Man, so you'd beat Steve Kerr in a basketball
game?
He's
60 years old. When Steve Kerr was my age, he probably would have beat me.
I'm not disputing.
That's like me, hear what I'm saying. That's like me saying, I'd beat Kareem today. Like, of course, the man's, when he was that age, he'd give me that work. But ain't no 60-year-old Steve Kerr going to beat me.
I think he would.
I don't.
That's disrespectful.
My only question is
Steve Kerr.
I don't think Steve Kerr can golf anymore.
He could still hit a three.
I don't think Steve Kerr can golf anymore because his back is so bad.
He doesn't have to. He just has to shoot. You might not touch the ball.
That's a good point.
Whatever.
I feel
I got all the respect in the world for these professional athletes. 60-year-old Steve Kerr that can't move is not going to beat me.
I feel like between the three of us, we are close enough on the, what's that Kevin Bacon scale? 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon? We are close enough in degrees to Steve Kerr that there's a feasible way we could make this happen. I know Matt Nahigian's got Raymond Ritter on speed dial. We can do this.
And look, Steve Kerr has nothing to hang his hat up. Like I said, when he was 30, even when he's 40, even if he, I'm 41, if he was 5 years older than me, he probably still beat me.
Sure.
60-year-old Steve Kerr, no, he can't. How is he going to guard me? I'm not even fast anymore. How is he going to move to guard me? He can't move. He's 60. Don't be disrespectful.
Don't be disrespectful. Steve Kerr sucks.
The man is 60 years old.
All right.
Earl the Pearl going to beat me right now, too?
Maybe.
Come on. Walt Frazier going to beat me right now? Come on, man.
I think Walt Frazier might be in his 80s. I don't know.
Speaking of Walt Frazier, turning on a Knicks game and it's Mike Breen on MSG.
Yeah, whatever it is.
I wonder what the cutoff would be, though.
Clyde Frazier,
where I think I could
79.
Start beating these guys. It might be 60, because there's some 50-year-olds that probably could beat me for sure that were in the NBA. So it probably is like 60. That's where I could start beating these NBA players at this age. There's 51, Ketino Mosley's 50 something. Ketino Mosley still goes crazy.
He'd cook you.
I'd have a problem.
Yeah. Could you beat Charles Barkley and get 1-on-1?
Yeah.
He'd have no chance.
No, he don't move.
Charles would cook you.
Charles would not cook you.
I don't feel
like
Charles would be able to move.
He can't move.
Steve, I think, could hit 10 straight threes and not move and win.
If I'm standing right next to him, what is he going to do? He's just going to shoot?
He's going to turn around.
I don't even know what the discussion is anymore, so I'm just going to fall back.
Steve Kerr just going to shoot. I know he was in the NBA, but if he can't move and I'm standing on his hip, he's just going to shoot because he's Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
That's a bucket.
All
right. Man played 1-on-1 with Michael Jordan.
All right.
Did you know LeBron James has been an all-star?
That was a crazy stat that you
looked. LeBron James has been an all-star 21 times. There are 5 NBA players ever out of the 4,800 NBA players ever who have played 21 seasons. And he's been an all-star 21 times.
That was crazy. That stat was crazy that you laid out.
5 NBA players. I don't even know if I can name them all. LeBron. Kareem played 20.
It's 5. LeBron is 6. So there's 5 others.
So there's 5 more.
Mm-hmm.
Kareem, do you have them?
And it's 21 seasons, right? Because I remember I was listening, and some of them played 20.
Yeah, so here are some of the guys who played 20. Kareem played 20. Yeah. Kobe was 20. Jamal Crawford played 20.
Wow.
And Udonis Haslem played 20.
I don't think I got the... I don't know what happened. I don't think I got the guy.
Dirk was 19?
Dirk was 21.
Oh.
So Dirk's one.
Okay. And who did Tim fall short?
Tim Duncan fell short.
I don't know. I have no
Vince
idea.
Carter, 22 seasons.
Wow.
You got Dirk. Kevin Garnett played 21 years.
That was the one I was trying. I was like, oh, dang, he played 21?
Kevin Willis and Robert Parrish both played 21.
What's our boy who Jeff Green going to approach this number here pretty soon.
Right.
Jeff Green's, I think he's at 17. I think because he's at the same number as KD.
When I sat down at that Kings-Rockets game, and I'd had a couple of beverages,
yep.
I'm having a good time, and when I heard Scott Moak say, 6'8", Jeff Green, in the starting lineup, I was like, whom? What? You said Jeff Green?
He dunked in that game.
Yeah.
Like, and not like dunk.
No, got up.
Jeff Green would cook
him. Yeah, Kenny could take him, though. Kenny could take him.
I can't take
37-year-old Jeff Green going to beat me.
I can't beat Jeff Green.
Jeff Green.
I can't beat people that are 40 years old. You guys saying a 60-year-old man is going to beat me. That can't move. Like, stop.
Jeff Green has had an unbelievable NBA career, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like a bust as a number 5 pick.
You missed this.
Oh, sorry.
You missed it.
Yeah, he didn't even go to his record.
Yeah. We did a pocket watching on Jeff Green.
Oh,
I'll give
no,
you.
That's cool.
I'll give you.
No, that's
I'll
cool,
gi-
man.
I'll
no,
give
I...
you. I'll give you an opportunity to.
Nah, it's fine. I got. It.
Yeah.
More or less, $100 million.
Jeff Green.
Yeah.
Way more.
How much? Way more.
How many years is this?
It was 17. His peak, I think, was. I want to say it was 15. It was a really out there number. It was a really out there number.
17.
It was like 15, 16, 17, something like that.
Hang on. I would have said like 153.
You would have lost.
Okay.
Jesse won.
Okay.
It was actually $100 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
15 was a complete anomaly. Complete 15 was completely it was
I
one
thought
of one.
$9 million a year was gonna be
mm-mm.
I said like 120 mm-hmm. something.
Yeah.
That's
and
great.
Jesse nailed it. Jesse was like at 1 yeah. like 08 or 110 or something like
wow.
that. Yeah, he had a good number.
I think Jesse was
Jesse might have been a low, but yeah. Yeah, but he was right around 100 million.
Yeah. 11 teams for Jeff Green.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jeff Green.
Big ups to him, man. But it's still
Houston twice.
He's got to come home. My guy's got to come home.
Well. Yeah. That's okay.
I saw that.
Yeah, that was glaring.
Shine. I was
yeah.
like, ah!
You had good seats for that game. We were in the media section, and we could see, Jeff.
Jeff, my guy.
Just holding on. Just holding on.
Joe says Michael Jordan, 61. You beat his ass?
Michael Jordan. So the one. Hold on. One of the reasons that I said I beat Steve Kerr is Steve Kerr is like 6'2", 6'3". Like, you put Jordan 6'6", like,
Mike,
yeah, he just backed me down. Like, he'll beat me on – he doesn't have to move. He just backs me down. But you said somebody relatively the same size, like, yeah, I'll probably beat him.
Steve Kerr also, like, literally his back is so bad, like, he can't golf.
That's another reason like, why I said Steve Kerr, he can't
yeah.
move.
Yeah, MJ would cook you still.
Yeah, MJ's 6'6". I can't do nothing with 6'6", Michael Jordan.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, the reason I said that is because you said – you didn't preface that they how tall they were. You said if they're over 60, you could take them.
That's a good point.
That is what you said.
I said
if they were a 6'3" guard or below
– with back problems.
Born with a major injury, born after the year 1960 – born before the year 1961, Kenny could take them.
What I said simply was – 60 is probably when I'd start saying I could beat these guys.
I see. Okay, I got you. Okay, so not everybody over 60.
No,
that's age you would consider.
And okay. like I'm talking like that's when I brought up Cuttino Mobley. I'm talking like 50-year-olds. Like I probably can't beat some of these 50-year-olds.
All right, that makes sense.
60 is when I'd start being like, all right, I could get some of these guys.
Unless they're 6'6".
Now I don't think I can beat Mike. I ain't beating Mike. I ain't beating Mike.
Mike would be mean about it too.
I ain't beating. So I don't even know if I'd beat Magic. Magic 6'9".
I don't even know. I don't know what to do with this show sometimes. It's really tough. Like my guy says, I'm the Malik Monk. He's just like me. And now he's out here beating professional basketball players.
Yeah, what was De'Aaron Fox? Score first. Make the right pass if he has to. But he's not always going to pass.
Oh, you said you were De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah, dude, just watch.
I thought you said you were
Malik.
I said De'Aaron Fox, his game reminds me of me. That's what I said. I didn't say
you went. You went like this. You went, well, reminds me of me. You don't watch the Kings last night? You're like, wow, that's Kenny out there. I said, I do.
All right, man.
Y'all be talking like you talking to some scrub.
That's the thing. Is like y'all be talking.
No, it's just sometimes you talk like you're a former player out of the league. That's the confusing part.
But it would have been if he was 6'3".
I would have.
Well, that's what Chris said.
Yeah, would have been.
Chris said if he was 6'3", he would have been in the league. I just want this to end, so let's go. Sorry you didn't get.
I didn't get a chance. Yeah, I want to talk football.
Well, we were busy talking about beating Steve Kerr.
I want the Commanders to win so bad. I think the Eagles are going to win. I think we're getting Eagles Bills.
You get Dan Schneider out of there and you go on to go to the Super Bowl, be the greatest story in history.
With a rookie QB?
A black one at that, Dan Schneider, roll over in his grave. Oh.
And my guy, Bob Myers, could get a ring. Come on, Bob.
Bob Myers.
Rooting for the basketball.
Bob Myers, just a winner everywhere he goes, huh?
Now, except on that damn broadcast booth.
I done a 180 on Bob. I want to listen. I want to hear what he going to say.
Would you beat Bob Myers 1-on-1?
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. No. Bob Myers like 6'6".
Yeah, but Bob, I got money on you taking Bob Myers. He'd probably, no, Kenny, wait. I want to talk to you first, and you just dunk on him. We'll come back. Kyle Mattson, the Insiders, Monday through Friday. You can check out his great work covering the San Francisco 49ers as well. All off season long over at NinersWire.com and the Candlestick Chronicles podcast with our guy Chris Biederman. Eddie Gonzalez coming up here in about 30 minutes. There is some football news to talk about that we should talk about. We could talk about these championship games, but Pete Carroll, head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I want to love it, but I don't. Steve Lou and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Big thanks to our guy, Kyle Mattson, from the Insiders, for hanging out with us. Eddie Gonzalez set to join us coming up here in about 30 minutes. Our man Keith Smith tweeted earlier this morning that he talked to a general manager in the league who said, we've got a deal in place. We're just waiting for this Jimmy Butler deal to get through because there could potentially be four or five teams involved. And the team that we're working with might be involved. So we've got to kind of let this thing play out a little bit. There's also rumors that the Sacramento Kings might have a deal in place with, well, it's John Collins and it's the Utah Jazz. We've been told that all morning. I don't really want to say the extent of what we were told regarding that deal, but I saw a tweet that said John Collins talks are up. I think we're well past these joints are so hot. They might've already been taken out of the oven. The holdup could be, something involving Jimmy Butler. The hold also be, the Kings pursuit of Cam Johnson. I saw a Twitter note earlier that said Brooklyn is perfectly fine keeping Cam Johnson moving forward if they don't get the deal that they want. And that could also be a sign you're going to meet our parameters or you're not going to get him. Well, if I'm Sacramento and I'm making one last push for Cam Johnson and I don't want to meet Brooklyn Brooklyn's parameters, you seem to have a pretty good fallback in place, which I don't even know that a fallback is the right word. I feel like John Collins might be the better acquisition.
Yeah, there's an argument for that for sure.
But again, I know one thing. If this is you know, these are rumors and there are people in and around the organization who are probably getting these out there for a reason. If I have the most volatile general manager in the league willing to make a deal with me, I'm probably not going, hey, Danny, hang on one second, dog. Let me take a look at something. Because you don't know what you're going to get when you call Danny Ainge back. So if there is some truth to this out there, get this deal for John Collins done.
Yeah.
Because it appears Brooklyn wants something that maybe Sacramento and any other team in the league who has inquired about Cam Johnson is not interested in meeting that asking price. It may be time to move on from that idea.
If you're as close as kind of we're hearing to possibly acquiring John Collins,
mm-hmm.
like you mentioned with the guy that you're dealing with, I probably wouldn't let this get through the weekend.
Yeah, for sure.
Like if you really want to do it, like sure you want to, you know, get some things taken care of, or maybe you do have to wait on a Jimmy Butler thing. But if it's in your control and mm-hmm. you're the one that's kind of, let me see what else is going on. Like I wouldn't do that too much longer. I would kind of start trying to finalize that if I was the Kings, if it's a possibility.
You like that acquisition? I can't remember who you chose in the dating game.
I chose.
Was it Kyle?
I chose Cam.
It was
because
Cam. Okay.
Because Cam was a little cheaper money wise, and you wouldn't have to give up two people to get one. It was just a straight one for one. So we thought with John Collins, who I like the player, I like the acquisition. I think he helps. I was concerned of having to give up Trey Lyles as yeah. well. So Trey Lyles and a Kevin Huerter to make the money work. You know, those are two rotational guys that you're taking out of a team that struggles with rotational guys to add one. So it feels like you'd be one down. You know, you'd have to find somebody else to fill in for that playing time. But man, if you got that with John Collins, like I tried to get another player. I would try to get, like I said, Johnny Juzang or something like that. You know what I mean? Like somebody that maybe isn't playing, or a G League guy, or somebody with some NBA experience that they're willing to come off of. But if not, and they insisted on just John Collins for those two, I'd do it. Yeah, I'd do it.
A couple of things we know, these talks with the Sacramento Kings and the Utah Jazz have been moving in a very, very positive direction for the last handful of days. Perhaps as far back as 4 or 5 days ago, they felt like they had the parameters of a deal laid out. What we have been unable to figure out this morning is what that deal looks like from the Sacramento side. Every source who has told us about this conversation with John Collins has not gotten back to us with what the parameters on this deal are.
Mm.
We're working it from 10 different angles, and we can't figure out what Sacramento's side of this is. That is something, if this deal gets done, we will all find out together. But again, it's Danny Ainge. You keep Danny Ainge on the line, and the funny thing about this is it was the Kings who put Danny on the clock
mm-hmm.
Back in July when the Kings had interest in Lauri Markkanen, and they had interest in DeMar DeRozan, and they told Danny, like, hey, if you're moving forward with Lauri, that's fine, let us know, because we've got to move forward. Mm-hmm. And they essentially put him on a deadline, and every report we had, and it was no less than a dozen, like, Utah just didn't respond. It wasn't Utah going, hey, go ahead, man, you good. It was they just didn't respond.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sacramento said, and credit to them, okay, cool. Our attention is shifted to DeMar DeRozan. And Mark Spears mentioned it, and we were off and running.
Mm-hmm.
And when that conversation first started, I remember we were hit up right away, like, this probably isn't going nowhere. This looks like it's going to be a difficult match. Kings are still talking to Utah, trying to get something done here. They just want DeMar to know that they want to pursue DeMar, but they've got to see this thing with Lauri through.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, the deadline had expired. The Kings had moved on, and the hottest day in the history of Sacramento hits, and DeMar DeRozan is here in a sweatsuit, not like us, is blaring through the California Classic, and all of a sudden, DeMar DeRozan is a King.
Yeah. So the moral of that story is, I wouldn't mess around with Danny Ainge. If you are as close as, you know, some of us are hearing, I wouldn't let it go through the weekend if you had.
I wouldn't let it go through dinner.
That's fair.
Imagine Danny Ainge has a bad dinner and gets mad and goes, no, I'm not trading John Collins no more. Or he loses another golf bet to Rob Pelinka. Now he's got to trade John Collins to the Lakers.
Right.
Now Rob got me again out there on the course. So sending John Collins to L.A. So we'll continue to monitor this. We've got our phones in front of us. We're working text messages. You know, we've got Twitter open.
How do you feel
Kings
about,
are in New York?
About the sequence that may go down with getting John Collins? I can't remember what it was on your dating game either, if it was one or...
I think it was Cam. I don't remember. I really should write stuff down. I thought John Collins was the best player. I think the... I think the dollar figure for John Collins, I started to wonder, like, okay, what exactly does this look like? Does someone come back with him? And I think that's what you were just talking about right there, because you need players. Like you not only do you need play, you need guys that can play for you.
Right.
I like it. I mean, I'm assuming Kevin is involved in any deal that involves a John Collins, a Cam Johnson, a Kyle Kuzma, a Jonas Valanciunas, or anything like that. I'm assuming. Kevin Herter is the first person involved in that. The question is Trey Lyles. With John Collins, I have to imagine Trey Lyles is. That's an expiring contract. That's an extremely valuable asset for the Utah Jazz. And then it comes into play, is there a draft pick involved? If Sacramento was unwilling, and there are reports from our James Hamm that they were unwilling to trade an unprotected first-round draft pick, what exactly is Utah asking for here? Are they asking for a protected first-round pick? Are they asking for multiple second round picks? Like, what exactly are we working with here? I got to imagine some draft compensation is in play, and I got to imagine that Trey Lyles is in play, because that expiring contract is going to fit into the mold of what Utah is trying to do here.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest with you, I'm not quite clear what it is they're trying to do, other than strip down their roster, lose games, and hopefully land one of the top four picks.
Yeah, and that's, like you mentioned, what are they trying to do? Like, because they seem like a little bit of a mess with Danny and what he's got going on, because he's just really collecting assets. It feels like, at least I'm sure he has a plan, but all right, at some point, all right, you're collecting assets. When does this turn into we want to be a good team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, right.
We kept Lauri Markkanen, we signed him. Like, all right, well. What are you trying to do with that? Because you could have got more assets, more draft picks, or whatever for Lauri. I don't know. Danny, you never know what's going on with him. You never know what's really going on with Utah. If I were them, I understand keeping Lauri Markkanen, but if I kept him, he would be off the trade block. Like, I'm keeping him because I'm going to keep a good player, and then I'm going to start drafting players around him and trying to build that way. It wouldn't be, oh, I'm going to sign him now, but, you know, for the right deal, like, we can move on from him. Like, is he on the trade block or not? I don't know. By the way, the financially, that's all I'm talking.
Mm-hmm.
Herter and Lyles for John Collins and Johnny Juzang works.
Okay.
So that's successful. He's got 4 years on Johnny Juzang. He's got 4 years on his contract. I think he makes like $3 million. Well, he makes $3 million, but it probably goes down as time goes along. But I'm not even saying that because, like, I think he's a great player. I need a body.
You need
back.
A body. Yeah, for sure.
Streets need a body.
Yeah. That's what. What was his name? Famous. I was going to call him Puerto Rico. Oh, and the name is Famous. John Collins. player option next year for 26. So you can't include draft compensation in this, right? Because you could lose John Collins. You probably won't at 26.5. I'm sure he opts into that, but maybe not. I'm not really sure. I wouldn't think you'd include draft compensation in this for a player who you might only have. There's a realistic scenario where you only have him for a few months. Now,
that's tough.
Now, there could be the, hey, we don't want you for the rest of the season or even for your player option. Pull up. You can opt out if you want to. Yeah. Our plan is to offer you a deal for 3 years, such and such dollar figure.
Mm-hmm.
And you go over that with his agent. And that's how you move forward with this.
Mm.
Maybe that's part of the reason why the deal is not done yet. Maybe that is something that Sacramento is interested in. They want John Collins here for the long term. He's going to be 28 years old next year. Like, he's not 40.
No, not at all.
I mean, he might still be able to beat Kenny at this age.
John Collins would beat me.
So, that's another thing to factor in here as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. The player option aspect of it makes it a little dicey to give up draft compensation.
Mm-hmm.
But like we've talked about a number of different times,
unless it makes it unless you have the deal orchestrated with
that's what I'm saying.
Like the Siakam gimmick,
right?
They traded a ton to land Pascal Siakam, knowing. Right. Yeah, you're not offering, obviously, John Collins and Max to where this is all a no-brainer. The Siakam thing was a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have worked with his representation and it's like, you've done the work. You know what your market is this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
They know. We've laid it out here for you what we want to do.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. We've talked about it. We put you guys on the game for a long time now. Like, these things aren't just happen chance.
None.
You know what I mean? Like, a trade and John Collins signing is, or excuse me, coming over to the Kings, it mm-hmm. probably means the agents have talked, or the agents yeah. have talked to the front office. They know what time it is. And because the Kings know what time it is, they were okay giving up a conditional second rounder or something like that, because they know they're probably going to have this guy, not just for the mm-hmm. At the very least, he'll pick up his option. You know, at the very least, let alone they might just sign him for another 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and Securing the Bagley says, I don't know if it's smart for John Collins to turn down $26 million. Sure, $26 million for a singular season, but if you sign for 3 years, and I don't know what the number is, $50, $60 million yeah. or whatever it is, maybe that's a good look for John Collins and his mm-hmm. team moving forward, because, again, as Kitty just laid out, they're going to know the market. They know the market right now. They know what they're working with. They've had those conversations. Let's get to these phone lines, man. You're listening to D'Lo and KC on KIFM West Sacramento, 98.5 FM Carrick's QHD2 Sacramento. ESPN 1320, always live on the free Odyssey app. Hit the Elk Grove Kid Talk line. Let's start with our man Jared here, 916-909-1320. What's up, Jared?
Hey, what's up, man? I need some help, because it's my girlfriend's birthday coming up next Friday.
Yep.
And I got to find a place to take her for dinner, man. She surprised me for my birthday like a month ago, did great. So I got to step up. And you've been talking about this place, Q or something?
What's yeah, man. Yeah, boy, Q1227. Yeah, yeah.
Is that the spot? Would that
that's
be great for a nice birthday dinner?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Do that,
good.
Do that.
You good if you do that.
Go to the Open Table app right now and set your reservations for next Friday, or it's going to be tough for you to get in. Friday is a great, great night there, so is Saturday. But, yeah, Q1227 is your spot, man. You guys will have an amazing time.
Okay, awesome. That's like in the Galleria, right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Right there in the, I think it's called the Promenade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it, dude. Thank you, guys.
No you got doubt. It, brother. Enjoy. No doubt, get them lobster bites, Jared. 916-909-1320. Let's get our man TC in here. TC, what's up, baby?
Hey.
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
We good, man. What's good with you?
Hey, before we get started, I can hear the y'all voice, bro. Look, something is shake, and we finna go wild. I hear it. We ain't even got to talk about it. Everybody got sources, can't talk about it. Listen. Something is shaking. Collins is the guy. I'm out Cam, unless we get him. But overall, Kenny and D'Lo, Collins is a better player. Live threat. His defense might be a little better than Cam's. Listen, Collins is a better player, bro. The stretch four, he fits nice. Next to Sabonis. I know I'm all over the place. I'm hyped up, bro. I don't even know. Something's finna shake, dog. And I feel it right now. I swear, D'Lo, I know it is. Something's finna shake for a Kings fan. Kenny,
yeah.
I love you, bro. You a coach.
Uh-huh.
You come from coaching. Uh-huh. I be coaching my son in flag and all. Listen, check it out. Coaching matters, Kenny. Mm. I know you a ball player. I know you a scorer. You be thinking like a scorer and from a player standpoint. And I be loving a lot of the stuff you be talking about, bro. But as far as the coaching, you didn't say coaching didn't matter. But how you come off like coaching don't matter. And it really do, bro. Coaching is important, dog. That's all I got, y'all.
Thanks, TC.
Shout out, TC.
TC said he could hear it on her voice.
Coaching absolutely matters, but you're only as good as your players. Like, you can't turn water into wine. You can't. Wow. Like, if you don't have
known non-believer, talent. Kenny Caraway, gosh, guess. Wow.
No, there's wow. there's only
all of the Christians going to attack D'Lo and KC now.
I actually read that wrong. There's only one person that can turn water into wine.
Okay, there you go.
I cannot turn water into wine.
Steve Kerr is not one of them. That's why Kenny can beat his ass.
Steve Kerr can't turn water into wine. There's only one that's body of spirit that can turn water into wine. But that's all it is. Like, and any coach that tells you any different is crazy. Like, you need talent. Like, you need talent. Now, you can help that talent. There's people that have a lot of talent that can't be successful. Those are people that can't coach. But Yeah, coaching matters. You need talent. That's all.
Well, Jared messed me up. I want some lobster bites. I'm gonna look see if we can get a reservation at Q tonight. Let's see. I'm betting you can. Q 1227 for tonight. Let's see. You can get in at 4:45 or 8:30.